ngā mana ki ngā reo, ki te iwi e tōnei, ki ngā rangatirama. Koutou katoa rā, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Tēnā koe, Rarui, tēnā koe, Charles. And I actually developed KiwiSaver, so I have nothing to do with how it's working now. So you'll have to go to somebody else for that. Thank you. It's a real privilege, and I'm very grateful to not only be here speaking to you, but have had the real privilege today to listen to the speakers and the Knights of the Round Table in particular have given me some pause for thought, and I always love to hear Sir Tiffany in particular and his provocativeness. It means that we all can all be a little bit more honest now, I think, and the speakers that flow did that. So I just want to acknowledge, you know, the leadership over the last 30 years has got us to now, and you in the room are the leaders to take us through till tomorrow, and that's really what I'm going to focus on today. He uli o kaitahu aho. It was not long ago I discovered this inkling in my whakapapa, and I'm still discovering that. It's a big heart journey, and as you probably know, and I'm sure that you in the audience have got some tips about how I can uncover the treasures of my hidden ancestry and also walk the paths of both a Māori identity and a Pākehā one. I also stand here as the Deputy Chief Executive. I've had over 20 years in the public service, and I can tell you now the things that I've heard today and what I'm seeing from where I stand is the aspirations that we have for Aotearoa. We share the hopes and dreams, all of us do, not just for Māori, for New Zealanders, for public servants and for private citizens. I can tell you at the heart of government, and this is where I'll agree and disagree with Sir Tiffany, and actually Wira, we treasure what New Zealanders treasure. Good jobs, profitable business, a growing economy, and this is the bit that's changed in the last 30 years. Good health and education for our kids, a clean environment, an inclusive society, and I'll come back to that. So everybody has the chance to succeed and to live the lives that what they want to live. It's a theme that's running through this conference, and it's a theme that's running through conversations within New Zealand. We call this our living standards framework. Our vision at Treasury is to raise the living standards of New Zealanders. So if you want money, don't come talk to us, because that's what people do. They think we're just about the money. We're not just about the money. We're about the mana and the money. So I want to talk about how we think about our shared aspirations as a country, as Aotearoa. We at Treasury, and I think you'll see around you in the conversations we're having, that we sense that we're in a very powerful moment. The global economy is changing shape. We're in the right place. We've got the right products, and we've got the right services on offer. China's middle class is growing. You know this story. Most countries are adopting a Western-style diet. They have a taste for New Zealand wine, food, beef, lamb, milk, seafood. Apart from the well-known emerging economies that we know about, there's also new markets that are rising quickly. And again, they're developing into middle-class markets. Countries like Malaysia, Brunei, Kazakhstan are all emerging for us and attractive. We have a rich resource base, and people have talked about that today, where we can cater to these rising markets. We have plentiful clean water, clean air, fertile soil, and climate well-suited to people, trees, livestock, and horticulture. We have long coastlines and significant agriculture. We have significant mineral and petroleum reserves and extraordinary biodiversity. We also, and it's really brought home to me in the last few months, have a really tremendous cultural advantage as a country. We're humble, we're open-minded, we have the ability to be agile and to pick up and try new things. People like us. It goes a long way overseas. You don't find that in many parts of the world. We're also a village, so it means that we can try some things here. We're only 4-point-something million people. We should be able to get it right. Running through that natural culture and identity is a very bright and strong thread of Māori culture, which in itself is a rich treasure. Māori culture prizes people, relationships, and connectedness. Nadia today brought us back to coming back to those things as a culture. It's a culture that understands the values of the East deeply and intuitively. Strong relationships, and I've seen this overseas, is the foundation for new business everywhere around the world, not just in China, but that's where people are looking, the integrity of those relationships, being able to show that you grow things in a way that has integrity. It's a real key, and it's one of our comparative advantages we haven't taken advantage of yet. It's a key to unlocking potential commercial opportunities. You know, we all talk about Milaka, Mararoa Sea. You know, they have shown that they're really building on those relationships. I also have a sense, and, you know, this is a bit of a debate here, that there's a powerful shift happening in society more broadly. I can only talk about what I see, but even within my own organisation, if I talk to the young people and I say, we want to have a Māori strategy that partners really strongly with Māori, they go, of course we would, why not? It's different now for them than it was even for when I grew up, and it'll be different again in 10 years. It's a shift from, and, you know, in this post-settlement era, and I'm optimistic, I have to be. The spirit of reconciliation is giving way to the spirit of possibility. We're moving away from relationships which are adversarial, compromising, trading value, to relationships which are diverse, inclusive, cooperative, life-giving, and value-creating. The trick, I think, is not to go to court. The trick is to focus on the results that we're after. Last month, I was lucky enough to be one of those that went to Stanford. Where the primary sector CEs and a group of, Steve Mahari was there as well, as he talked about. You know, the thing that struck me about that is that they weren't interested just in making money. The Iti Nui, the Te Hono, is about New Zealand and about Aotearoa, and they want something better for New Zealand, not just about the commercial outcome. Now, I can understand as a public servant, I might like that, but when you've got hard-headed business people thinking like that, then I think we're in a change for New Zealand. So there's so much opportunity in front of us. But, and this is where I put my treasury hat on, it's just not going to fall in our laps. Just because Māori are good at relationships doesn't mean that people are going to come to the party. As a small nation, our success is really, really vulnerable to the global economy. The international recovery is fragile, and the IMF just recently downgraded the economic outlook for the globe, and that's because of United States, Russia, and other developing economies weakening. Closer to home, New Zealand's still one of the highest net negative international investment positions in the OECD. What that means is that we're still living beyond our means. This changed after the GFC. People did tighten their belts and basically live a little bit within their means instead of start saving. But we still have quite low rates of private saving and high consumption. I hope that's going to be starting to change. So, shaky global environment, and we need to face up to some of the stark realities of our own economic growth and our foundations here. For some time, our economic growth has been really driven by an increasing population. But now there's a consistent flow of skilled workers out of New Zealand, and when Australia gets back on its feet, and it will, then we can reasonably expect that exodus will pick up again. The greater workforce participation basically masks something that's in our economy that we've got to get to the hub of, a stubborn productivity issue. So in farming, for example, you have farms that are really productive at the high end and you have ones that are not, and you have everybody in between. Why can't we have all our farms at that productive end? So while people are working for longer, baby boomers, as pointed out by Sir Tipani, the Pākehās are going to retire at some point, and the younger generation, the working generation, will be Māori and Pacifica. That workforce will be smaller. And potentially, you know, the big question for us is how skilled are they going to be? Finally, you know, we talk about digital world and we're getting closer and all that. Well, it is. It's getting closer. But Auckland is still not much closer to the cities in Asia than cities in Europe. Being a bit removed from the world also makes it a bit more difficult to tap into innovation and the potential productivity gains that can give you. So at the moment, it's great because Europe is not doing so well, but what if they pick up? What happens then? So where to from here? The question for us today really is looking forward. Collectively, as Māori, as New Zealanders, how do we develop the Māori economy? Māori success is success for New Zealand. And what should the relationship between Māori and Crown be in the new era? I'm more optimistic about that. And I think with, as I was saying to Tamaki before, that as governments move to more citizen-led policy development, the place of Māori in that is going to become stronger, and how you interact with government is going to become better. So for the rest of my time, I just want to talk about what success looks like, what excites us about the Māori economy, why Treasury is coming into this area, and what worries us, because we're the worry warts, and how do we forge ahead. So what does success look like? Well, actually, success is about better outcomes. It's not about more money. It's not about tapping into just funding or more money. It's not about policy advice, strategies, or high-level commitments to things. Success will be more young people, our young people, with good qualifications, healthy whānau, warm, dry homes, better jobs. Flourishing Māori businesses taking on the world. Iti to the nui. And Māori-owned assets managed in the way that's consistent with Māori aspirations for our people, for the land, for the sea, for the rivers. Consistent with our aspirations for our people. I point back to Nadia on that. So we've made progress since the last hui tamata. There are difficulties with statistics. You never know who a Māori is, actually, these days. But we can be encouraged by some broad trends. In 2013, for example, 36,000 Māori said they had a bachelor's degree or higher. That's 56% increase since 2006. So that's great. That's good. That's heartening. Of course, there are challenges. Māori education outcomes are still behind those of their Pākehā peers. And Māori health issues are well known. But we absolutely believe that the opportunities outweigh these challenges. What's important, though, is that we look forward and take full advantage of the opportunity presented to us right now in the form of the changing global economy. The time is now, because we're not seeing a once-in-a-lifetime change. We're actually seeing a once-in-an-ever change. The biggest threat to us is we don't take that opportunity. So that's my challenge to all of us in the room. We have to pursue our ambition and our aspiration relentlessly and intelligently. So what excites us about the Māori economy? You will all know the stories. We get excited in Treasury. It's kind of weird. But we're bringing in the soft side. So active iwi and Māori investment in growth companies and infrastructure, so the bus example is a great one, Ngāi Tahu and Tainui and the Go Bus, Waikato Milking Systems, that's a technology provider in the dairy industry. So it's just interesting, the bus deal is a nice example of the rising economic power of iwi corporations. So the total value of that deal is $170 million, I think. That's the same amount as Tainui's settlement in 1995. So we're excited about investments in social projects to raise living standards. And this is where I think we can have a debate maybe over dinner. But I think, because I think it's really, really important for lifting living standards of New Zealand that we do have these investments. The Waimahia housing project is a good example. It's an initiative between the collective of Tamaki Makaurau, Māori trustee and charitable organisations. We're also excited because Māori do have the long-term investment view, and that's kind of where Treasury comes from too. We think about things over the long term. How do you lift living standards over time? Last week we met with Dion at PKW, who are investing in sustainable dairy farming in the heart of Taranaki. I took a big team up there, and it was a great trip, so thank you, Dion. But they're balancing that whole growth with careful nutrient management and protection of waterways. They've also got a framework, a bit like our living standards framework, that talks about how do they balance some of the things around equity and bringing whānau into their decision-making at the board level. They've got solar-powered cow sheds, ka pai. So we're excited about Māori innovation. International connections, that's one of our top themes in our economic narrative. And the cultural advantage. Earlier I mentioned Mulaka and Mararoa Sea. Mulaka is attracting investment from Vietnam and building a really strong market presence. And that's because of its approach is distinctly Māori. Its philosophy resonates really deeply with its funders. Mararoa Sea is succeeding in a Chinese market where other people have failed because of the relationship capital they've built up there. So when we look across these activities, we think, wow, that's awesome. Really excited about the commercial focus of Māori entrepreneurs and executives. It really bodes well. So what worries us? Well, as there are for risks of New Zealand economy, and I hear people talk and the iwi as a nation talk, and I see some of the issues that we think about in Treasury facing you, we see some specific risks with the Māori economy. So we're really excited about the growth investments, but what about being over-concentrated in your investments? Māori enterprises seem to be heavily invested in commercial property. Now, if the GFC told us anything, it said just beware of something that looks good too good to be too true in the real estate market. It's interesting Tai Nui are now changing their investment strategy to moving from 75% property down to 25% over time. We're also concerned about this overexposure to volatile global markets for New Zealand commodities. Price of milk goes down, you buggered. So on the supply side, we're exposed to those price swings. 2015, dairy price has just been downgraded. And, you know, we've actually faced quite strong competition in global production on the dairy side. So we're also excited about that kind of consumer preference for New Zealand products, the integrity. They want to know where it's sourced and all that sort of thing. But that's not a given. What if those change? What if people suddenly decide that they have a taste for milkless milk or beefless beef or eggless eggs? I can't see it myself, but you never know. So what is the risk strategies around that? We love the long-term focus of the Māori business that you bring to investments. But we're really worried about who's going to lead tomorrow. How's your governance? How's your succession planning? Is the right kind of talent being nurtured? Or are you burning them out? And although we're excited about your sharp commercial focus, we're worried that a single focus on the economic outcomes really will not get us to where we need to be. And some things like social outcomes could easily be forgotten. Te Ao Pākehā made that mistake. Let's not make the same one. So what comes next? So how do we respond? How do we grow the economy to take advantage of our strengths and the opportunities while protecting ourselves from those vulnerabilities? The Māori Economic Development Strategy, Haikai Akaringa, talks about Māori-led government enabled. I call about waving hands. But what does that mean? I actually think it means a number of things. And whether it's that strategy or another one, I think going forward it means Māori pursuing their ambition and government getting out of the way. It also means, in some cases, government clearing the road, blocks to growth. In some cases, Sir Tiffany, it does actually mean partnership, and I mean partnership. And in some cases, it means when Māori are not ready to lead, that government actually help Māori to develop the capability to do that. Education, as you know, is one of Treasury's top priorities. We've come out quite strongly on education, and it was actually a key theme of 2005 Hui Taumātua. So our job, we see, is making sure the education system works well for New Zealanders, regardless of who you are. I don't have to tell you that it's not working at the moment. But there is some good work going on, and we're fully behind trying to make sure it makes a difference. But this is really work that we need to create opportunities for local hapu and for iwi and whānau to be involved as well. Currently, our teams are trying to go into the community to find out where it's actually working for Māori. So let's build on success, not look for where the failure is. And that is actually coming out with some interesting results. And some of the team is here, so you can hit them up later. The same applies to areas like housing. The Waimahia development is a good example, a new way of working. And we're exploring how government can work more closely with community housing providers, including iwi, more broadly. So we also need to clear away the blockages on developing Māori land, and that's a well-known issue. In the governance space, I think this is really interesting. So one of my key areas is the whole commercial portfolio of government, of which we have 53 boards that we point to. One of the key things coming out of the GFC was that the performance of entities is really quite heavily reliant on the performance of boards. And the performance of boards, those boards that had greater diversity of thinking in their boards pre-GFC did better out of GFC. And I pause on the greater diversity of thinking. So both at a government side, we're looking at how do you bring in greater diversity of thinking and a Māori perspective as part of that story. On your side, how are you bringing in difference of thinking and preventing groupthink within your boards? Because it has a major impact on performance. So we can create value through that mechanism. The key theme underlying all of this is a free flow of people, culture, and ideas, with an emphasis on finding solutions that work, results on the ground for people. It's the power of diversity and collaboration to create value for everyone. As an organisation, Treasury is really finding its way here. We're meeting with more people. We're getting out into the real world. It's pretty tough sometimes. But we don't really have a preconceived idea of how things should be done. It's quite funny for me to stand here and hear people quote Roger Nomics. I mean, most of our organisation left that long ago. So, let's move on. In that spirit, you got handed out one of these. Who's got one? Has anybody still got one? All right, find one, because what I'd like you to do, it's basically with your basket and my basket, we can make a difference, right? We would like your feedback. We would like you to put one thing that you think we could do, as in we, not just us, to raise living standards of New Zealanders. So if you could write on the back, and there are boxes out there that you can post a postcard into. If you've lost it, there'll be more up the back. So just to finish up, the key question I keep coming back to is, what does success look like? And so Tiffany talked about his 38-year-old granddaughter. You know, what does life look like in 30 to 40 years' time? You know, economic growth is only a means to an end. Commercial success in your entities is only a means to an end. The end is better living standards for New Zealanders. The end is better living standards so those people want to live here. So we want to have an Aotearoa where people want to live. So we see at Treasury, we have a living standards framework. It has five components. What's your picture of success? How will you trade off commercial, equity, environmental, social? How will you think about those things? Right now, we start to think about them as not a trade-off, but how do you maximise decisions that maximise all of the things that we think are important? It's not that easy. So have you set clear goals? I think Parikawhia really gave us an example there. What are your clear goals for the living standards improvement you want to see for your whānau? And how do you hold true to your aspirations? So just in closing, just five thoughts that we have. Well, just to put into the melting pot, if you like. The first is creating clear pathways for young people. I can't emphasise enough that the young people, and you guys have, Māori have the young demographic, is absolutely critical. To build strong management, governance, and technical skills is going to require investment now to give you the opportunities and your organisations the opportunities to succeed in the future. It was interesting just listening to PKW last week. You know, they do have career pathways within the organisation, and I think it's a really interesting approach. We all talk about it, but actually doing it's something else. The second thought is to think laterally about how you grow and manage risk. So one of the things that we see is that Māori organisations become more and more risk-averse because they want to hold the land and they don't want to take too many risks. That probably won't be a good strategy in the long run. So where are the opportunities to invest together with others, like Ngāi Tahu and Tainu have done? Where can you combine your strengths, reduce risk, and develop deeper expertise? Remember, we're a village. We don't have balls and balls of capability. We do have to work with each other. Where are the smart partnerships? Either with other Māori enterprises or with private equity? Let's discern who shares your values. and who has the skills you need. The third thought is on support active ownership. So this is my way of saying how you'll make your growth, your aspirations, your successes, and your failures inclusive. So how do you bring in your community? Keeping connected to whānau is absolutely vital and will help you stay focused on what really matters. The fourth thought is to strengthen as you grow. It's about building resilience, and I think that's one of the themes coming through. You know, don't just think about building scale. Don't forget to invest in efficiency and productivity. So innovation's really critical. It's not just about buying up the next farm to get the more cows. Invest in your people and processes. Watch your balance sheet carefully so that you withstand some unexpected shocks, because we will have them. The fifth thought is build relationships with the wider community. And I emphasise here the wider community, so both domestically, it's your licence to operate, at home and also abroad. New Zealand's becoming a better place because we're taking the time to talk to each other and finding new ways to work together. I am optimistic about that. And as I mentioned earlier, Māori culture and relationships values are already opening doors to new opportunities. I encourage you to continue in the spirit of whānau ngātanga. I introduced myself today as a descendant of Ngāi Tahu, rediscovering who I am. But I'm not the only one on a journey. He waka eke noa. Like the Polynesian and the European voyagers who made their way to this corner of the South Pacific, and we've talked about that today, all New Zealanders are on a voyage of discovery. The waters ahead are teeming with life and rich possibility. We're leaving behind the burden of the past and pursuing the bounty of the future. We're discovering a land that to all of us is both ancient and new at the same time. We're charting a course for our country, Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I just want to finish with a quote, because quote seems to be the thing of the day. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. They have no respect for the status quo. If you quote them, disagree with them, you can glorify them or you can vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see them as genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. Thank you.